Good morning. We're grateful that Pastor Dean and Pastor Troy and others who have been so serving this week have allowed us to come and share, and we've been humbled by that, and the excellence in which you do things here honors the Lord, and we're grateful. Thank you for loving Dean and Angie and our grandkids. And we're humbled. Thank you for coming alongside of them and serving with them and supporting them. Now, did we have a $5 bet who could say the most nice things about each other? I'll just pay the $5. Well, this morning we continue in the Love Revolution series, and our theme has been, your theme has been, will be today and on, God's love changes things. God's love changed me in 1972, and I became a follower of Christ. I was saved during the month of November, and it was just a few days before Angie was born. I was not a Christian when Suzanne and I married. I thought I was. But it's changed my eternity, it's changed my family, it's changed our lives, and it continues to change me. I am amazed at the love that God has for us. And I want to share with you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3, and the guys doing the media and all of the slides and things, they just do an excellent job. And so if I mess up, they'll catch that and make me look better. God bless you guys. Well, one late afternoon, I came home from pasteurizing, and when I did, there was a lady right there at the door, and she, real special lady, very, very special lady, and I said, hi, how are you doing? She said, I'm not doing very well. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm one of your sheep, too, is my wife. She said, I sense that we are drifting apart. And that just broke my heart. I enjoy ministry, but I had evidently put that before her, and I apologize by that. But I said, I need to learn what I can do to create that closeness and that intimacy, especially the emotional intimacy that a wife needs. And she has prayed for me and encourages me for 44 years. And she was 2 when I married her. I knew she was going to be hot, so I got her on the front end big time. Well, let's look. Desperate Housewives. I never saw any segment that about Desperate Housewives, but it gave me thought that wives are in desperate need for some things. First of all, wives are in desperate needs for their husbands to submit to them. Hold your applause, it's going to get better. Submission is when one person voluntarily places themselves under another person, another equal, one equal, placing themselves under another equal for the glory of God. Jesus did that. He's our example. He just left heaven, came down here on this earth, and he put himself under the Father. And the Lord used him, the Father used him greatly because he just humbled himself. At his one equal, Jesus, as God, submitted himself to the Father, who is God, for the glory of God. Now, submission is not only for the glory of God, but it is for protection. For example, this umbrella protects me from the rain. If you would think about Suzanne and I driving down the road, and if I were to speed, two things happen. My wife says, honey, the speed limit is 55 here. And if I just say, man, I'm not going to take that. Boom, boy, I just floor and go about 80. And I meet one of the nicest Ohio State troopers that I've ever met. And he gives me a ticket. And if I get out from under the state of Ohio, I have a chance of not being protected, or will not be protected. But if I'm going the speed limit, I go by one of those men, God bless them, and it's like he's saying, hey, buddy, I just want to praise you for doing the speed limit. It's because of my wife, so I don't need to get the credit. You know, I threw away my GPS. You know, I mean, and it was a woman that was speaking. And it's biblical. The Bible says no man shall serve two masters. Amen? Well, if a... Let's imagine this analogy that this umbrella is a covering and Jesus is our covering. If a man is under the lordship of Christ and he is serving God and honoring him, then he protects his wife and his children under him. If he gets out from under, Satan will reign on them. I have a lot of men say, man, we're having trouble with our children. And I'd say, are you under the lordship of Christ? Oh, I never thought I would affect them. Oh, yeah. And it's important that men submit themselves to the lordship of Christ. And then it's also important for wives to submit themselves. If they get out from under, chances are they can be rained on and attacked by the enemy. But it says in this verse that likewise, in verse 1, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. As an equal, voluntarily place yourself under your husband, which is husband, love your wives. Then it says, wives, submit. One equal, a wife, submits to another equal, the husband, for the glory of God and for the protection of the wife. But in verse 7, it says, likewise. And what that does, the construction of the language of that day, that throws it back up to verse 1, and it connects. It says, likewise, just like the wife is submissive to the husband, also the husband is to be submissive to the wife. Let me hear it back there, sister. Well, how can a woman, why should we do that? Well, God says to do it, and because of that, it'll be protection. Wives have it's amazing, they're kind of like people who are construction workers. They've got red flags. And man, if something's happening and it's not what it should be, she'll start waving those red flags. Then another thing, she has a radar. Right now, all your wives' radar, you might not hear it, but it's beep, beep, beep. But whenever a woman comes up to you and your wife has a discerning spirit about her, when she comes up to you, it picks up a little bit. Beep, 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 beep. And she comes over and she says lovingly to me, you watch that woman. I say, yeah, I will do that. Now, I'm stupid because I say, oh, no problem. Don't worry about that. You better worry about that. You better listen to her. I would never hire an administrative assistant unless she liked her and said she's the hire for you. Let me tell you, I've had some of the ugliest administration assistants. Didn't have any problems, I tell you. So wives need to submit to their husbands, and husbands need to submit to the wives. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. Amen. All right, we can go on now. All right. Second of all, wives, verse 2, wives need their husbands to be with them. You need to dwell with them. Literally means to dwell down with them in the home. So it's important that when we come home, we give our wives and children attention, focus, time. I know you're tired, but it's so important that when you come home, have focused time, especially with your wife. Every wife needs some time where she feels like I have his undivided attention. Now, my wife has had to sometimes grab me by the cheeks and say, look at me. Shut your mouth and listen to me. And I go, if you'll just let go of my cheeks, will you? And she needs that, everyone, especially if your love language is quality time. You really need that attention and time together. But also, we need to give affection at home and everywhere else. Emotional intimacy is built when somebody is affectionate and touching. Cuddling, putting your arm around them. You can even do that at church. Is that okay, Pastor? Oh, okay. You can put, you know, and then at night, you're watching TV, you're playing footsie there. That's a touch. That's good. Hugging, kissing, all those things. Those are good. It has been said, and I don't know who said this. You know, everybody's got surveys, and you go, they say that a woman needs 12 non-sexual touches every day. Now, some of you guys are thinking, I'm going to do that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hey, I'm done. But they've heard it. You got to slip them in a little bit here, a little bit there, and all that. What that does, that creates a closeness, an intimacy, emotional intimacy. And that's what is a great need for our wives. So wives need to think they need to be with their husbands. And then give attention and affection. And then third of all, wives need their husbands to know them. Verse 7 talks about knowledge. You need to know their personality. You need to know what they love. You need to know what they don't like. You need to know about their fears and worries. You need to know what makes her tick. You need to know what ticks her off. You need what happens is when you know what her love language is and you speak her love language, that makes her feel so loved. So it's important that you know her. One way to get to know your wife is to just keep your mouth shut when you have some focus time and just listen. Just listen. If there were three things I'd like for you to remember this morning, listen, listen, listen. Remember, God's given us two ears and one mouth. He did that for a reason, that we would listen more than we speak. So she really needs you to listen. When you listen, she feels valued, and she feels understood, that you understand her. We know that's not totally right. We don't totally understand them, do we? But she feels like it. That's what's important. Wives also, number four, need their husbands to honor them. They need to know that we highly value them. The word there for honor is a picture of an exquisite, very fragile vase. And it's handled with tender care. And you put value on that. It's priceless. And we're to realize that our wives are priceless. God's given us a gift, the second best gift other than salvation that we could ever have. And we need to be careful because she is fragile. But she's very priceless. Let her share her ideas, her values and opinions, and listen. That's so important. Then number five, wives need their husbands to approve of them. Verse 9 says, give blessing for cursing. Not cursing for cursing and cursing for blessing, but give blessing. It's the word from which we get our word eulogy. Somebody stands in a funeral and they share, eulogize them. They share good words about that person to you. Well, blessed be God, 2 Corinthians 1. That blessed there is the word eulogy. This word here is the word eulogy. And what our wives need to know that we appreciate them and we value them as a person And we appreciate the things that they do for us, but it's so important that they realize that we realize how valuable they are, and we need to share good words to our wives about themselves. Honey, you're not only beautiful and all those things, and you're sharp and you're wise and you're intelligent, but you, your character, your love for me. And just talk to her about what makes her special to you. And that will show that he approves me. My wife is as confident and as godly as anybody I know. But if she senses that I am not approving of her, she just it defeats her. And it depresses her, and it closes her off in our marriage and closes it off to me. And so what we need to do is build them up and bless them. We need to honor them. We need to approve of them. And then number six, wives need their husbands to comfort them. Verse 8 says compassion. And that reminds me of a psalm, Psalm 23. And in one of the verses it says, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, restores my soul. And it's also a picture of what an actual shepherd does. A shepherd, actually, it's the little rendering of that, he brings my soul back. So if you are having problems financially, if you're having problems spiritually, emotionally, whatever, he is the one that can restore your soul and bring your soul back to where it needs to be. Well, a shepherd knows when one of the sheep is not present. And so what he does, he goes out and looks for the sheep. And this represents me. I am the black sheep of the family. And he goes out there, and what he sees is a cast sheep. A cast sheep, because of its wool, would get into a little crevice, and because of that, it just throws them off, and they get all fours up in the air. Or maybe too much wool on one side or the other, and it just throws him into this cast position on his back with his four legs up. Now, he'll flail. He'll bleat, bah, bah, but he can't get away from the predators. The sun beating down on a sheep, a cast sheep, 4 or 5 hours is about all they can take, because what happens is gases build up in their stomach. And then another thing, because they're not walking and not using their legs, all the blood drains out of their legs, and eventually they just stiffen. So it won't be long before a wolf or some other predator comes along and just devours the sheep. So the shepherd comes, and here's what he does. This is not really what he does. I'll tell you in a minute, but this is just, okay. You idiot. What is the deal with you? I told you not to do this, and here you are doing it anyway. Man, I can't believe that. Did you know you just need to just reason this out and just realize that there's some logic to this, and if you'd let me, I'd help you with this, and you wouldn't get into trouble. I'd fix you, and you wouldn't have this problem. Now, if you do that, the little old lamb, the little sheep, is going to be going, they're hurt, but that's not the way the shepherd does it. This is the true way he does it. He has compassion and comfort for the little lamb. He kneels down and he starts rubbing the legs to get blood circulating back in the leg. Just continues to do that. And while he's doing it, he's just talking gently. You're the sweetest. I am so thankful for you. You're probably one of my favorite lambs. I just love you. Oh, just love, oh boy, and everything. And then you got these gases in his stomach. Hold on. We've got some things that'll spray from the ceiling, kind of give you an idea about this. But you rub that stomach, and it's hard, and you keep rubbing, and you keep rubbing, and the gas has to go somewhere. And the shepherd's real careful that he's downwind, not downwind from me. And, you're just going to have a little, you're going to have that. Hey, I'm just trying to be real here. You're going to have that. But after that and a few of those little things, then the gas starts to subside. And if it didn't happen, he didn't rub the stomach and get the gases out and all that, it would suffocate the lamb because it would close in on his lungs and he would die. And he continues to rub the leg, continues to talk to him. Hey, you're doing so much better now. Did I tell you you're my favorite lamb? I said, just love on it. And then whenever he feels like that the blood is circulating and the lamb can move his legs, then he'll turn that lamb over and he'll hold that lamb up until she can get her feet back under and strong enough to walk. Then he'll say, Mary Lee, come on back home with me. You just follow me. She just goes back there and she's thinking, I love my shepherd. He's wonderful. I love him. I really do. And whenever you're cast financially, cast spiritually, cast emotionally, and you can't right yourself up, and God comes along, he loves on you, and he ministers to you, and he works in your heart and your life, and you just say, I'm so glad Jesus is my shepherd. But only the shepherd can right that cast sheep and get them back on the, with the legs under them. Well, not only do wives need their husbands to comfort them, wives need their husbands to support them. It says in this verse, verse 7, that the wife is the weaker vessel. Now he's talking about physically sometime, but I know some ladies who are much stronger than some men, but generally, and then also emotionally, he's talking about that. And it's important that Galatians 6:2, it says, bear one another's burden to fulfill the law of Christ. We need to support our wives and bear her burdens. In 1876, the British government was having problems with ships that were sinking because they had too much cargo on them. And so what they would do is they would, Samuel Plimsoll said to them, what you need to do is on the bow of the ship, on the front, you need to take a watermark. And whenever the ship, whenever the watermark ship gets down in the water, and that watermark is down here, that means there's too much cargo, too much on that ship, and it can't handle it. So they would take the cargo off, and then there would be that mark. And it came to be known as the Plimsoll mark. Your wife has a Plimsoll mark. She gets stressed. She gets worn out physically. And you need to know what overwhelms your wife. What is her Plimsoll mark? What stresses her and what needs to be taken off? Help her take some things off. Now, Suzanne is a type A person. I'm a type Z. At times, she's tried to make me a type A. She kills me when she does that. But she's just trying to make me be more loving and beneficial and effective in ministry. She's helping me. But sometimes when she gets overwhelmed and her Plimsoll mark is, you know, realize that, well, what happens is she leaks. I just can't handle it anymore. I said, okay, you have seven things in which you are expending energy and giving of yourself. You are singing with the choir. You're singing with the ensemble. You are teaching Sunday school. You are doing experiencing God on Sunday night. you teaching a ladies' class on Tuesday with about 100 people. I said, something's got to go. Choir needs to go.
Oh, no, I love Brother Ron and I love those choir members. It's still just a joy.
I said, okay, what about the ensemble? That needs to go. Oh, and I love those ladies. What about this? What about your experiencing God? No, I love that. My Sunday school class, what about that? I said, okay, I need to make a decision. We're going to take off the ensemble. And we eliminate that. And then after we talk, after she beat me about the head, she says, thank you. But now, boy, you got to really be persistent to try to get them to not be so overwhelmed. So it's important that we help her take things off of her. It's so important. Then wives need their husbands to love them. Verse 8 talks about agape love. Now, here's a good definition of agape, Calvary love, John 3:16. It's an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person for their benefit and for the glory of God. Now, what does God do? He's made an unconditional commitment to all of us who know the Lord. And we are imperfect people. And he does it for our benefit. And he does it to glorify God. And wives need to love their husbands, need to love their wives like that and create an atmosphere of love so that they feel love. They need to hear us say, I love you. I'll always love you. I can't live without you. Actions then ought to back up the words that we say. Wives need us to love them. Ephesians 5 says, love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The biggest problem we see in marriages is selfishness. Let me tell you, if you go into marriage and you think it's for you, no, it's all about Jesus. And it's not a 50-50 proposition, people say. Most of the time, it's 99-1. And it's tough for guys because there are times that we need to go, and sometimes we need to say that we're sorry, and sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness. And what happens is we think, you know, that's beneath me. Well, it wasn't beneath Jesus. He initiated coming from heaven down to earth. He lived a holy life, gave his life as a sacrifice on a cross for you and for me. And so there needs to be where we are willing to sacrifice for our wives so that they know he didn't do this that he wanted to do, a hobby or some business thing. He did this because he loves me. And then last of all, wives need their husbands to pray for them and with them. We've done some surveys in churches where we've been, and they women have said, what do you want to, you know, on a little list? They say, I want my husband to be the spiritual leader of our home. And yes, you need to read the word. You need to read the word with your family and your wife. You need to lead them to church. And you need to pray for your wife and with your wife. I had a couple that came to in Louisiana for counseling, and I counseled them on like a Tuesday afternoon, and I just said, they said, it's not bad what's going on, but we just need to get some counsel on not letting it go any farther and getting worse. I shared a number of things. Then I said, why don't you just pray with each other? And I gave them a few things that they could do to pray with each other. And I didn't see them back in the office for a couple of weeks. And I told them, I said, now, let's meet again next Tuesday. Y'all call and give a time and see if my secretary will work out. And they didn't. And then I finally saw them in church, and they're sitting in the back, and they're grinning like a mule eating briars. That's a Southern thing, amen. And I said, how are you guys doing? I've missed seeing you. They said, we don't need to see you again. We went to Dr. Jesus. We prayed, started praying together, and man, God started tearing down the walls in our marriage, and God started joining us more emotionally together, and we love each other more today than we ever have been. And see, that wasn't a preacher that did that. That was God did that. And whenever you invite him in, when you say, oh God, we're imperfect people, and we need your grace, we need your help, we need your love. Thank you that you give us an unconditional commitment because we're imperfect for our benefit and for your glory. And because of that, Lord, we can also realize we're imperfect people in this marriage, but we realize you can work through us to love each other and to minister to each other. If you'll do that, it'll change your marriage, change your life. How are we doing on time, Dean? We okay? 15 more points, you'll be okay. I'd be lying. Dr. Robert McQuinn, I'm sorry, Sydney. That's my grandma. Dr. Robert McQuilkin was the president of Columbia Bible College and Seminary. And man, godly man for years. He led that school and led the college and seminary. But his wife got Alzheimer's and he just sensed that God wanted him to stay home and take care of her. Well, she progressed in her Alzheimer's, and one afternoon they'd take a walk, and came back from the walk, and when they came back from the walk, they sat down to eat, and she soiled her gown, and he cleaned her up and cleaned up the floor, and then got her new gown, and then right before they went to bed, she soiled another gown, and he was down mopping the floor, cleaning up the floor. He just said, Lord, I want to make sure I'm in your will. If this is your will, you impress upon me that I need to be at home taking care of my wife. Well, they would walk in the afternoon, and Mrs. McQuilkin wouldn't say anything. She might just kind of mumble every once in a while, but he talked to her just like she was able to talk. And there was a young man that was mentally challenged that walked through the neighborhood every day, never said a word. And Dr. McQuilkin always just said, hey, how you doing today? He said, hey, how you doing today? Not a word. But Dr. and Ms. McQuilkin were holding her hand, and they went in, and the guy came in back because he was going to the store over here. He did that every day. And whenever he got behind them, he saw them walking, holding hands. And he said, that's good. I like that. That's good. I like that. And Dr. McQuilkin said, God spoke through that mentally challenged young man to me. And I now know it's definitely God's will. And God looks down at what I'm doing, and he says, that's good, Robert. I like that. Let me ask you, men, can God look down at your marriage where you are right now, and he says, what you're doing, I like that. That's good. Dave Reaver was wounded in Vietnam. If you were to see him on the internet, his face is scarred badly. They've done many, many surgeries. But he went back to, came home from Vietnam, and they put him in a hospital, and he was in an infirmary, and he was in a burn unit with three or four other guys. And his wife had not been able to get to him yet. So there were two or three other guys, and their wives came in, and two of those out of the three just came in and whispered, I just can't do this. I can't do this. One lady came back, took her wedding ring, put it on the chest of her man and said, I'm so sorry. She left. The other one left. And Davy's thinking, oh my, if that happens to me, I don't know if I want to live. If she just up and leaves. She came in and she got over to Davy's bed. And here he is, he's lying and he's wrapped in all these bandages. And she bent down and she put her hand lightly on his chest and knelt down and said, Davy, you're my hero and I will never, ever, ever leave you. Don't you know God said, that's good, I like that. What about you ladies? Can God look down and see that you respect your husband? Can he say, that's good? I like that. Well, let's pray together. Lord, you know I'm that imperfect person that needs your unconditional commitment for my benefit and for your glory. I thank you that your love never fails, never runs out, never gives up on me. Amazing love. And I pray for the men here that they would realize that, hey, we're not all as spiritual as we need to be. What's important is that we're progressing. And our wives can see that we really mean business. And she'll be patient with us. That we'll just continue to do small steps. But she'll see that progression. That's the most important thing. And then for the ladies, they'd continue to unconditionally commit themselves for the glory of God to an imperfect person for their benefit. And treat him like a hero. Even if he doesn't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace and God's love. We don't deserve our husband's love. That's grace when we give love like we should to our wives. And when we respect our husband like we ought to. And Father, I pray for this time of just pondering and evaluating where we need to be and what you want us to do. And I just thank you for it. And as Pastor Dean comes, I pray that you continue to give him wisdom to lead us as we continue to worship in Jesus' name.
Father, we do pray for our marriages, Lord, that Lord, through our mutual submission of one another, that we would give the world an accurate picture of how you love us and how you pursue us. That, Lord, our marriages would glorify you. And Lord, I pray for any of our marriages who are here today who are struggling. Lord, I pray for our marriages, maybe, Lord, some of whom our spouses are on the brink of temptation and this week could cross a line. Lord, I pray that you'll call them back. I pray that they'll respond to you. I pray, God, for folks who are here who, Lord, are single, who would like to be married, that, Lord, they put their trust and their hope and their faith in you and your activity in their lives. And, Lord, we do all this for your sake. In your name we pray.